Well, we're talking about the bait of Satan. This is a wonderful teaching. And how many enjoyed the teaching last week? I mean, it just really dug into me. I was chewing on that all week. But tonight's really going to hit us between the eyes. Because our relationship with God causes us never to be offended. If God loves me, you can get mad at me all you want. As long as God accepts me and loves me and carries me and holds me and gives me information, I'm good. Come on, somebody. I don't intend to hurt anybody, and I don't want to get hurt, but my trust and my allegiance is to the Lord. Amen? So tonight we'll talk about that. I just have a couple questions before we see the video tonight. Somebody give me one or two examples of unforgettable sermons you have heard and what made them so memorable. Everybody's like, it was a sermon about Jesus. Did you know that used to be punishment for murderers back in medieval times? They had to carry the dead body around with them until it rotted. And they usually went crazy and died. So yeah, that was. How did that affect you? I preached a message about, because our church grew pretty fast. There was a lot of people just had milled around for a few weeks. And I said, are you ready to unpack your suitcase? You know how you stay in a hotel? And you live out of the suitcase. When you're ready, you just close the suitcase and move on. I said, you need to unpack your suitcase. And so, yeah, that was a powerful message. God moved in a powerful way that day. Yeah. I remember a message I heard by David Wilkerson. How many know who David Wilkerson is? And he spoke about the charismatic itch. I still have it on the cassette, and I listen to it about twice a year. And it's a message that he preached about him being in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. He was in a growing church, and God called him to go to New York City. But he didn't answer the call right away. He was having this revival meeting. He was calling people out, giving them prophetic words and words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you're a big fake. And he said the Lord, he wasn't being moved by the Lord. He was moving in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, but it wasn't God. God said, I'm not in this. I told you to go to New York City. And I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that. How, and every time I come up to share or to preach or hold a mic, I always say, God, let me say only what you're saying. I want to be in your will. How many know that that's a good thing? And the good news is he resigned that night from the church and left to go to New York City. And if you've ever seen the cross and switchblade, you know what happened after that. Two people I want to briefly describe an occasion when God spoke or communicated to you in a special and a personal way, and how has that experience affected your life? Can I get two volunteers? How did God speak to you, and how did it affect your life? Not necessarily in a sermon, maybe in a devotional time. Maybe it was to marry the woman you're sitting beside, or yes. Well, this lesson tonight is talking about this very thing, because if we have a relationship with Christ, we've got it all. We've got it all. We've got a relationship with Christ. He takes care of everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so John is going to talk about a sure foundation. The scripture says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And that stone is Jesus Christ. We build our whole relationship on the rock, Christ. And that rock fed the Israelites in the desert. Water spewed from the rock and watered the whole desert floor. That was a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. He waters us. He takes care of us. How many know He loves us? And if we'll build that foundation on Him, we won't be offended. What can man do to me if I have a relationship with God? That can make you callous, and we don't want to go that way. It's not a callous thing. It's a sure thing. My surety is not in you. I love you. I like hanging out with you. But if you get mad and walk away, I've got God. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so that foundation is a sure foundation. So let's watch the video and then we'll talk a little bit. Could you turn these backlights on? Thanks. Wow, what a challenge. What a challenge to actually have a relationship so solid in Christ as to not be shaken by anything that's going on. If we ever needed to hear it, we need to hear it now. Because we're seeing people, respected people in our society that have turned their back on the revealed Word of God and made doctrine out of lies. Come on, somebody. We've turned our heads on cohabitation. We've turned our heads on divorcing and remarrying for any reason at all. Just whenever you're tired, you just divorce somebody and marry somebody else. We've atrophied so far away from God's perfect plan. Come on, somebody. And we need to absolutely devour God's Word. Absolutely need to devour God's Word right now and get His Word back in us so that we're not easily shaken. The only way that we'll not be easily shaken is if we have a relationship with God. You know, the problem is we have more of a relationship with each other, and when I let you down, you run away because you haven't built a relationship with Christ. Come on, somebody. If you're solid in Christ, not much of what I say can really shake you. Because you're founded in Christ. You can overlook my idiocy. Come on, somebody. I'm telling the truth now tonight. I'm fussing with you. But we get so easily upset. That's why we have so many churches. People get upset and just go start something else because they don't agree with me. Agree with you. And no wonder the world's looking at us like you all don't even know what you're talking about. Am I telling the truth tonight? If I'm stepping on your toes, we're still toes next time. See, it's just like this cross. You see this cross right here? If we have our relationship with God, vertical relationship with God, solid, this horizontal relationship will take care of itself. Are you there tonight? If we've got this solid, if we know what Christ is saying, if He is our foundation stone, if we're building our faith on His rock, this can get as wavy as it wants to. But what oftentimes happens is we put our trust and our faith and everything in a church or an organization or a person, and invariably it's going to get shaky. Because we go through testings and trials as individuals, as organizations, as organisms. We go through growth pains. But if we'll just hang in there and have our relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's being rude that needs rebuked. Somebody that, you know, needs corrected. There's time for that. Leadership needs to correct that kind of thing. I understand that. I get that. But I'm talking about just getting offended and walking off. He talks in Isaiah 28, he talked about the stone as a foundation. He said, will not act hastily. Somebody that acts hastily, John said, is unstable. You just do things in a knee-jerk way. You get angry and go off and say things and do things you're not supposed to. Or, in this day and age, God didn't have Facebook back then, so He didn't say, you get on Facebook and you type things that you ought not to type. Don't put it on there because it ain't coming back off. Is anybody there? Come on. Or texting. Because how many know texting can be misunderstood? You can't. There's no emotions when you type something. You can offend somebody and not even mean to. Whatever happened to just picking up the phone or talking, or better yet, let's go get a cup of coffee and look at each other and talk like we meant to. Come on, somebody. I like to challenge you in the month of August to go with no electronics. I'm thinking about doing that. How many like to do that? No electronics for a whole month. Except for work. Well, if you got to do it at work. I mean, personal. You see, there's knowledge that brings stability, and then there's knowledge that brings excitement and an instability. Especially in this day, and I can't stress it enough. Even when John made this 15, 20 years ago, we did not have the social media that we have and the blogs that we have, and everybody's this and that expert. I'm an expert. Well, number one, how did you get to be an expert, and who are you, and who do you answer to, and what do you read? What's your education? I need to know some things before I believe what you say. I saw a posting on Facebook. Can I get personal? I saw a posting that said the Pope has now said he heard from God to change the Ten Commandments. Anybody see that posting? Immediately when I saw it, I said, well, he's an idiot. How many know if you're the Pope, you're not going to say that you're going to change the Ten Commandments? You won't be Pope very long. It took me 3 minutes to do some research and found out it was started by a bogus website. Come on. And two or three people, I'm not talking about the person that thinks I'm talking about that. Two or three people sent that to me. My sister-in-law sent it to me, actually, first. And that's when I did the research and then warned a couple of people this is bogus. But how many know people buy that kind of stuff? We've got to have our relationship. See, that's head knowledge. Head knowledge gets us in trouble, but the revealed Word of God, once God reveals something to you, nobody could shake you. See, like this morning when God said, I take care of birds and I take care of flowers, and you're a cut above birds and flowers in my book. I said, okay, God, I don't have to worry about anything. Just a peace just flooded me. Come on, somebody. It's the revealed Word of God. Revealed knowledge has to do with the truth that does not rely on our intellect or abilities. It's revealed knowledge that God reveals it to our spirit man. And that's what he's trying to get to every time he speaks, every time the Word of God, reread the Word of God. It's a revealed, it's a living Word. It's meant for today. I love it when he said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means he's still talking. That means when we read, consider the lilies of the field, he's talking to me. See, knowledge without relationship is the most dangerous thing we can have. Come on, somebody. If you don't have the relationship with God, knowledge ain't going to help you at all. All it's going to do is make you obnoxious. Somebody that doesn't know, it doesn't have a relationship with God but knows everything is a very hard person to talk to. Anybody ever had a conversation with somebody like that? Don't have a relationship with God, it's not sweet. Come on. And they love to argue. They love to get into the Greek and the Hebrew words and the meanings and the things and the stars and the moons and the things, and they're sure. We say, have you taken this to God? I don't need to take it to God. It's in the Greek and Hebrew. What's the matter with you? No, have you sifted this through a relationship with God? Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people tonight? You're all looking at me like I got something on my shirt. See, this relationship that John's talking about, that the solid foundation is absolutely necessary, especially in this hour. Especially in this hour. It's not just the Lordship of Christ. It's not just coming and making confessions in church and making sure that you do all the things that a good Christian does. It's allowing God to reveal Himself to you. Because when He reveals His Word, He's revealing Himself. They're inseparable. Jesus said, I am the Word. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is the Word. When He reveals Himself to us, boy, that's a solid rock to build on. And all these things that are happening, if we think they're happening now, wait. They're going to accelerate. And we must know. We've got to build this relationship first. Stability comes with the knowledge of God, intimate knowledge. I'm not just talking about information. Quoting from John, he said, when we possess solely a head knowledge, two things can happen. We are easily susceptible to hype or emotionalism, or we are bound by our intellect. Both are very dangerous. We're too smart for God, or we're too emotional for Him. And the enemy will play on that every time. I like what he had to say. How many like what he had to say when he said, prayer without ceasing means communication without ceasing. I like it when I ask God and there's never a busy signal. There's never a, can you call back? There's never an answering machine. This is God. I'm busy. You know what to do. Beep. Come on. I actually did that a couple of weeks ago. I called a mentor of mine because I was going through a prayer time quandary and got the answer machine. And God said, you can ask me. A little light bulb went on. It was like one of those cartoons. A little light bulb. I guess I can ask God. God will tell me. And later on, I got to talk to the mentor, and the mentor said the same thing as God said. So there was confirmation. Come on, somebody. God is never busy. God is never bothered. God is never wanting to say, I don't want to talk to you. God is drawn to hunger. When you're hungry and you're seeking His face, never does God, I can't ever find in His Word what says, I don't want to answer you. Go away. Leave me alone. The only time He ever says that is whenever that last day. And they said, Lord, we've cast out demons in Your name. Go away from me, I never knew You. Hello. We don't want to go there. But God never refuses us. He responds to the hungry. The level of your hunger reveals how mature you are. Come on, somebody. You ever see a new believer? They're just all over the place. They're quoting the Word. They've got Scripture all over the place on their bumpers and in their car. And they're walking around this big Bible. Oh, God just revealed this to me. And do you ever hear somebody mature in the Lord or say they're mature, say, well, that you'll cool down after a while. That's just a new fire of God in you. You'll get. Man, we need to tell them, get that fire hotter. We need to get back to that fire. We need to get back to that excitement when God tells us. Not yawning over our first cup of coffee in the morning and say, that's pretty neat. But getting excited about the Lord's Word. How many know it's the only thing that will endure forever? Amen. I put these, if you're taking notes tonight. Where do I want to go? Acting hastily gets us in trouble. A hasty act may also be a quick decision to do nothing or to do something without seeking the Lord. Here's the way I try to run my life. If I'm in doubt, I don't do anything. I don't take a stab and hope it's okay. You know why? Somebody ask me why. Because you make the wrong decision and end up flat on your face or on your butt. I've ended on my butt many times because I went ahead just thinking I'm making the right decision. Listen, when you're in doubt, don't do anything. Because you're setting yourself up for offense. You know, when we mostly get offended, when we do something we know was stupid and somebody says, you did something stupid, and we get offended at them. We know we did it stupidly. We get offended at them because they recognize it. That was stupid. You're stupid. I ain't coming back to this church. They think I'm stupid. Well, you know you were stupid to begin with. Come on, somebody. God tells you the timing. If you move in God's timing, you'll never slip. You'll never fall. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And so if that's an achievable goal, that's where we should aim for. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Five things. There's nothing new. The same principles that work and are timeless. Number one, devour the Word. Devour God's Word. Get God's Word in you. Read it. Don't worry about studying so much as just read it. Yes, you should study. Yes, I understand that. But sometimes we get all caught up with the Greek and the Hebrew and the meaning and the thing and the cross-reference. Just read the Word. It's alive. Devour it. I'm reading through the Word this month, the whole New Testament I'm reading through. I'm just reading it. Why? Because I love God's Word. I want it to saturate me. I want to soak in it. I don't even want to. My first thought needs to be Word-based. especially in this hour. Man, people have gone crazy. The world has lost, flipped their lid. My question is, who's running the insane asylum? The whole place is going nuts. People are saying and doing things that... Am I the only one that's seeing that? So I've got to rely. See, I've got to build this relationship so I'm not easily shaken. Number two, pursue God in prayer. Pray, 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 pray. When in doubt, pray. When you're sure, pray. When you're happy, pray. When you're sad, pray. Just pray. Just communicate with God. Stay in touch with God. Hear His Word so clearly so you will not be fooled. Because the devil is out to destroy everything about you. And devour His Word. Pursue God in prayer. Listen for revealed knowledge, number three. Listen for revealed knowledge. When you're reading His Word, let God speak to you personally. Some of us are going through tough relationships with family members. And we need to hear God's revealed knowledge. So we stay on the upper road. We stay on the high road. We stay on the love. We stay on the serving. We stay on that place with God so that we can hear Him clearly, so that we're not offended. Souls are hanging in the balance. You think for a minute when this thing falls apart, which we're so close to, this whole society is built on the sand. It's not built on a rock. Come on, somebody. And the storms are coming. They're already here. And it's beating vehemently on the house. Do you think for one minute they're going to come to unstable people? They'll say, you guys are in worse shape than us. We've got to go somewhere else for the answer. And you know what? The enemy will provide an answer. Some cult will provide an answer. Quiet in here. They're the ones that knock on the door and say, you know, you would become your own God and populate your own planet. I don't drink any hot liquid. I don't drink alcohol. And I gave 2 years of my life for this. That's how dedicated I am. Well, I want to hear what you have to say. Because I just was down in church down the road and there's this person left and that person's offended and that person's hurt and that person's drinking on Saturday night and going to church Sunday morning. It's quiet in here. So we'll live our lives for us. We live our lives for the lost that are going to have questions. We better have some answers. Listen for revealed knowledge. God will, number four, act on the revealed knowledge that God gives you. If the Word of God says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, husbands, you better love your wife. You better be praying with your wife. You better believe. Wives, be dedicated to your husband. Don't complain. My man doesn't do anything for me. My man is, he's gotten ugly. He's just ugly. Watches that TV and likes that racist. What are you going to get back? Come on, somebody. If the Word of God says it, listen to the revealed knowledge and then act on that revealed knowledge. Number five, repeat. Number five, repeat. Devour the Word. Pursue God in prayer. Listen for revealed knowledge. Act on that Word. Don't be fooled. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. See, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, I want to just mark a couple things in here. He said, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist. Well, we know it couldn't be because you're only born once. But some were saying John the Baptist was, you know, regurgitated or whatever they call it. What do they call that? Reincarnated. Yeah, reincarnated. Say, I even forgot the word. Some Elijah and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Yep. He said to them, but who do you say that? Don't listen, I was supposed to be in can I tell you a story? I was supposed to be in what's the place down by your house? Deedsville. And I got my car, drove to Akron. I got to Akron and called and said, hey, are you in Akron or Athens? They said, we're in Deedsville. So, you know, I sometimes forget things. I made it, though. I was a little bit late, but I made it. Say hello to my new friends, Margo and Jim right here. Margo and Jim, say hello. They just stopped in to say hello tonight. And this new lady sitting in front, Terry, she hasn't been here for a while. So some said John the Baptist, others said Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And that's really a question you need to answer personally. Thank God Peter answered, but what do you say? See, if he is the Son of God, if he is the Son of the living God, then everything that proceeds out of his mouth, that's the revealed word of God, is unquestionable allegiance to. Come on, somebody. Bible says, love your enemies, you better love your enemies. Bible says, treat those who spitefully use you with love. Feed those. Water those that are enemies. You better do it. That's not left to, well, you can go ahead and do that, but I ain't doing it. I hate that person. Well, you're disobeying God, not me. I might get miffed. God doesn't forget. Somebody, come on. So they were saying a lot of things, but nobody was saying that he was the Son of God. He could be a return messenger from God like one of the prophets, but they didn't mention the Son of God. And that's really where it comes down to. If he is who he says he is, then he must be obeyed. But if I'm questioning him, I'll get offended really easy by everybody, because I'm not solid at all. You'll tell me what I should already know. We're careful not to ask each other the real important questions. Like, how long did you spend in prayer today? Well, that's my business. How long did you spend in the Word today? Truth is, you hadn't picked up the Word since Sunday. And then we wonder why we have problems. Wonder why we get so offended. There are going to be all kinds of reasons to be offended. There are right now. I'm offended at everything I read in the papers and everything I see. I'm offended by some of the Christians that are actually left their brains hanging with their underwear. I'm offended. Where did you read that? Where did that come from? Did God change something? Did he like forget? Don't look at circumstances or rely on opinions. The revealed word is the standard and the gas pedal for our lives. It's the revealed word of God. It's what I know about God. I'm nobody is going to listen. On that day, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know there's some people that need to hear this aren't here tonight. Everybody look at each other and say, he's telling the truth. People that need to hear this aren't here tonight. We're all okay. But just in case. See, the revealed Word of God is the standard and the gas pedal for our lives. Is the Word of God sown in good soil in your heart? You're the only one that knows. Is there stony ground? Is there thorns and thistles? Thorns and thistles come from an unkept garden. If the garden and the soil of your heart is taken care of, the Word of God will take root and build a strong foundation, which we absolutely have to have. We absolutely cannot live without a strong foundation. It's a stabilizer and a source of strength. I know immediately. Come on, somebody. I know immediately when I hear a lie. Why? It's not because I'm smarter than anybody else. It's not because I've got a pastor in front of my name. It's because I've spent time with God. When that little check mark goes off in your spirit, stop. Don't type it, don't talk about it, don't spread it, don't say anything until you know it's what God wants you to say. If we did that, Facebook would shut down tomorrow. We say things, we have opinions. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple. Come on, somebody. And I post things on Facebook all the time. I like to communicate with my family. I like to put things on there. But I really pray before I post something. The back button on my computer is faded away because I hit back button a lot. But man, I get angry sometimes. I start typing something. The Holy Spirit of my wife, one of the two, will say, "Don't do that." See, we can learn something in John chapter 6, just in closing. John chapter 6. Can you imagine? I talked about this before. But you say, "Jesus, you're in heaven. You got everybody worshiping you. You got angels worshiping you. You got all kinds of, you got the, you're sitting beside the Holy Spirit. You're sitting beside the Father. You got her made. You finished the race. You're there. Jesus, can you even imagine what I'm going through?" He said, "Yeah, I can. I was on this earth and I was walking and there were thousands of people following me, and I turned around and said, 'You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And if you don't, you have no part in me,' and everybody left." Do you know what kind of rejection that is? Can you imagine? How many have ever been through a church split? Just look around. How many church splits are in this room? We went through a church split. It absolutely devastated me for weeks and months. I wept and cried over people that I loved that never wanted to talk to me again for no reason at all. And Jesus felt, can you imagine? Thousands of people turned and walking away. You talk about rejection. So he does know what we went through. You talk about he could have been offended. He could have said, he could have called fire down from heaven just like Elijah and burned them all up. Yes, he knows what you're going through. You've been through a broken relationship. You've been through a hurtful relationship where you're having to rebuild your life. He knows. You've been through a tough time where you can't communicate with your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or something. He knows. The person that he loved and treated just like everybody else betrayed him. He knows. God knows. He was left with just the 12 after thousands. He was left actually with 11. And Jesus will always ask you the questions just like he did the 12. He'll always ask you questions. If you're not getting questions from Jesus, you're not hanging out with him enough. He'll ask you the tough things like, "Do you really love me? Are you willing to give this up to have a deeper relationship with me?" "God, but I love CSI." "Are you willing to give CSI up to have a relationship with me?" Anybody there? Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday just up the street here? Billy Sunday, the evangelist? Doesn't he have a place in Warsaw? Is it Warsaw? That is the museum is? I can't hear anybody. Winona Lake. He's got a museum out there. Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player. Could have been famous. He was one of the richest guys of his day, which wasn't a whole lot of money then, but it was then. He gave it all up for the gospel. Everything. Fame, fortune. And that's what Jesus said. He said, "If you'll die to yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, I'll give you everything you need." So the key is not to store things up or stab people in the back or get the most or climb the highest. The key is to have the relationship with God so that when those days come, when that tough time comes, you'll know what to do. See, he knew he was giving them the truth just like he is us. And he was willing to offend. And Jesus will be willing to offend us with his word to get us to look at things. Deep things. So this relationship, this sure foundation that we have to build, we absolutely have to. I wish there was another way. I wish we could have chicken dinners and baseball games, you know. The only way we come together, we need to be challenged. I hope you're challenged by this series. I hope you're challenged when you come. Because listen, the only thing that's going to get us through this next few years is to be take the challenge and dig deeper and build that solid relationship. Because I don't want to lose one. I don't lose one person to the enemy. And if you have that same resolve, we'll see some great things happen together. It's the resolve to build that foundation with God and not be offended. And I remind you of the base scripture that we talked about 6 weeks ago. It is impossible that offenses will not come. We have opportunity to be offended. I would venture to guess before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, you'll at least have one opportunity to be offended. The spirit of offense is everywhere right now. It is. We just need to do warfare, build that relationship with God, have that love relationship, think the best of everybody. Turn to somebody and says, I think the best of you. See, we can look over our stupidity. And I'm number one stupid. But I got the Holy Ghost. So you got to love me. Like I said, main thing is, if you don't like me, I'll probably live right across the street from you. So you see me every day. Hi. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You've given us such a rich, rich resource. Father, thank you for your living word. Give us a hunger again for it, God. We might have fallen away. We might have gotten busy. We might have gotten sidetracked. But God, bring us back to your word. Help us to have a hunger like we never have before. Lord, we choose to be hungry so that we can mature and dig deep. And Lord, let our prayer life be extended, Father, that we might spend seasons of time listening for your voice. God, that we might become masters of the sword, knowing when to pull the sword, knowing when to use the sword, Father. And you said your sword is the Word of God, the living Word of God. We thank you for that, God. I ask that you bless each and every one here tonight. Father, may we go deeper in you so that we can build that relationship with everyone around us. Lord, we pray for the lost tonight. God, may they see consistency in our life. May each one of us shine our light so brightly before men that they might see our good works and glorify you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.